Dear friends, in this weekly study of Bhagavad Gita, we had been discussing the ninth chapter, which is important for understanding that how we can connect our minds to God. There is no doubt at this stage that we have to connect our mind to God. But the question is how? Is there a technique? Is there a procedure? Earlier in the preceding chapters, it has been shown that why should we connect our minds not to various other things but to God, which is not just the God which is a creator, not a God that is to be believed in as such, but the God who is our indwelling reality, the reality of the whole universe. So, that we understand is to be devoted to, or should our mind should get attached to. But for the mind that is accustomed to running after various other things to which the senses get attracted, it is not easy to do it. So, the question that is being tackled is how to do it. We know that we should do it. The only question now is how to do it. And unless we know how to do it, just by knowing that we need to do it is not very helpful. When you know you got to go to some place, the important thing next is how to get there. Can somebody supply me the directions, the other information that I need to go there? Then only it becomes actualized. It becomes possible, otherwise it just remains only at the level that yes, I need to go there, how I do not know. So this ninth chapter practically supplies this information, and we have seen, we are almost at the end of the chapter today. In fact, if God wills, today we will finish this chapter. The idea is, last time we discussed that through all our activities, with every action, we can connect ourselves to God by knowing that that God is the propeller, the sustainer of every action. Many times this question comes that are there certain set rituals, especially the vast population is a member of some organized religion, gets connected to some organized religion. Nothing wrong in that. But what happens is, we feel that then if I am not able to follow those prescribed rituals, which I don't understand, nor have I got the capability to follow it. Sometimes I even do not believe them. Do I have some hope then? What should I do? I don't understand those rituals. They are not easy to perform. Also, my work schedule is such. In the olden times, it is probable that people could spend more time. But now I am so busy. And then my mind is always scattered in so many directions. To perform all those things is so difficult. Do I have then some other way to do it? And the answer was given last time, that there are no God-defined rituals that one has to follow. They are not a must. They are an auxiliary help. If you don't have those, or if you don't follow those, it doesn't mean that you cannot reach the goal. There are various means, and One important thing is whether you are following those rituals or whether you are not following those rituals. Even if you are following those rituals, it is a question of connecting your mind to God through all the other activities that you are doing too. Otherwise, you are connected to God only for some time of your life. And that time can't be much. You may be spending some time going to a church or doing some worship or doing some meditation. But apart from that, remaining say 20 hours, 23 hours, you are then not getting connected with God. That is not very helpful. What should therefore be done is that, as has been described in the last verse that we studied in the previous Friday class, that let whatever you do, yat karoshi, yad ashnasi, every action that you do, connect it to God, that action to God mentally. Whatever you are eating, ashnasi means whatever you are eating, and offer it to God and eat. That is a very beautiful idea that you are eating. Well, you have to eat to sustain the life in the body, but then offer it to God, connect that to God. So what happens is then through eating you are connecting to God. Suppose you are doing, say, vacuuming the room. Mentally connect to God that, well, cleanliness is like godliness. So, by cleaning, connect it to mind that I am not cleaning just the room, I am cleaning mind also. So, what happens thus, that action of vacuuming gets connected to God. Similarly, every action, yad juhoshi, dadasiyat, yat tapasyasi, all these are to be, he says, kurushva madarpanam. Whatever austerities you perform, whatever religious actions you perform, make sure that you connect them to God. And thus, what happens with this? The result is the life gets transformed. The idea in all spiritual or religious practices is that our attachment to the world is to be changed to attachment to God. Our awareness needs to get transformed. The awareness of an ignorant person is that, well, I am real and this world is real as I see it. Both of these things are real. And what is the inevitable result of this? It is inevitable, friends. When I see that this I am real, then this I means so many desires. I want this, I want that, I want to get a good job, I want to excel in academic fields, I want to excel in social fields, I want to do a big business and be successful in that. It is so many things that I am connected with. All these aspirations or desires keep on jumping up and down constantly. There is no end to those desires, friends. As long as this I is there, all these desires associated with it is there. And then, what do? They propel us in various directions towards these worldly things. They take us to every other object in the world. There is competition. There is stress associated with it. There is anger, frustration, so many things. We want that, well, I must remove all the injustice from the world. And then I go in this direction, that direction, I scold this person, I write an article condemning that some action. what happens thereby? Not that the injustice or whatever gets changed, but my mind keeps on getting more and more agitated, and I am not sure then whether I am really removing the injustice or adding some more of my type. Because by my fanaticism, my frustration, and my, in general, that restlessness, I create more of that. So, with this I of this type, it is that is how the my reactions, my responses with the world are. Now, is there a relief from this, friends? As long as this I and the world, this erroneous awareness is there, there is no relief from it. You can think of it. What do you mean by I? So many desires. Can you stop those desires? You will find you cannot. Can you stop your mind from going out to the various things? You will find it is so very difficult, next to impossible. And thus, can you then remove the restlessness? Let us see, can you ever remove the restlessness? No, you cannot remove the restlessness. You can go to various psychotherapists that I am always restless, what can I do? They will tell you, take this pill or be calm, go on a journey, forget it and such things. And not that it is completely wrong. It does provide some relief. But it comes back again. It relapses again. What is the solution then? We must be, friends, rational. In the pursuit of spiritual wisdom, we should not ditch rationality. It is very important, friends. It is a great tool for us. See, whenever we reflect on this I and the world, that means restlessness. And what do we want? We want peace. Who doesn't want peace? Everybody here wants peace. Olu, you want peace, is it not? Yes. Is there anybody here who says, I don't want peace? And there you won't find anybody in the world who says, I don't want peace. But look at our actions. Our actions and our awareness is something that is just making us restless, taking us away farther and farther from peace that we want. So we should actually see what can bring peace in my life and fearlessly apply that solution. Many times we feel that yes, that is the solution, but it is far away, it is so difficult, so let me forget about it. Forgetting doesn't bring any any solace. It is again and again it is going to haunt us. If we want peace, and we want it. If we want peace, we should pursue the path of peace. And what is it? This I and the world, this consciousness is to be replaced by God alone is real. That God fills me, that God fills the whole world. And now, you know, if you concentrate on this thought that I am divine, then you have no desires. I am divine. God is perfect. God has no lacuna, no cravings. Can you think of God who is busy, always restless, thinking, let me hurt this fellow, let me kill that fellow? No. It is peace. you are divine. It is a very important message that we have to get in. I am divine. And then the world gets transformed. Even the neurologist can tell you that the world that you see is just in your brain. It is not out there. The sense that it is out there is also really your perception. It is in your brain. There is that nice movie, What the Bleep Do We Know? Many of you must have seen that. It is all inside the brain that we think that it is real. But when we know that we are divine, the world also becomes divine. And then you realize what you were seeking, peace, blessedness. That peace now is independent of how others are behaving. Remember, the peace that the psychotherapist brings you is temporary peace. Temporarily you feel some kind of a calmness in your mind. But again, you get into contact with world and then you immediately become ruffled. Why my mother-in-law is behaving like this? It is immediately the world is just again appears in front of you and then making you restless. So therefore, it is important that connect the activities to God. So now slowly, instead of I and world being real for you, God starts becoming actually real in your consciousness. That is the transformation that takes place. This transformation is what we want. And whatever brings that transformation is spiritual practice. If this transformation is not taking place, then we may be going to all different religious places. We can be doing many fasts. We can be doing so many different types of meditations. But if that is not bringing this transformation, then it is not going to bring the spiritual wisdom in our life. Spiritual practice is that by which, instead of I and world being real, you start seeing God is real. Instead of seeing that which is unreal, you start seeing that which is real. Instead of having all these questions as to what is the ultimate truth, you start seeing that ultimate truth. So it is all, instead of continuously busying yourself, what is right, what is wrong, how should I make the people do according to what I want, how will I be able to transform the world, you will see it transformed. It is, this is the technique. It is told by Lord and said therefore that he says that in the 28th verse, Shubha Shubha Phalai Revam Mokshase Karma Bandhanai Sanyasa Yoga Yuktatma Vimukto Mamu Paishyase. Thus you will be rid of the bonds of action resulting in good and evil, being free and with your mind endowed with the yoga of renunciation, you will attain me. Me means God. Lord Krishna is giving this advice. So he says me. It is a capital me, not an individual, not a person. What is the difference between God and I? Means a person, What happens is, in an individual, this definition I like a lot. Swami Vivekananda has given this definition, and also I found Plotinus has given this very same definition about, say, 2000 years back, close to 2000 years back, that the difference between God and a human being is, a human being is a circle whose circumference is nowhere, but center is in a body. We are all like that, is it not? That's I am so and so. This whole world is what I perceive as mine, interacting with me. That is an ordinary person. What is God? God also is a circle whose circumference is nowhere, infinite, like us. But the point of difference is, the center is everywhere. That makes the change. The center is everywhere. Now, therefore, that attractions and repulsions resulting with this limited consciousness, I and the world, that gets just transformed into God alone is real. It is with this you become then free from all bondages. Our goal, just as peace can be said to be our goal, there is another word that can define it, and we all cherish that also, freedom. Who doesn't want to be free? Everybody wants freedom. But in this world, freedom is not possible with this ignorance. Therefore, you hear that Jesus says that knowledge can make you free. In ignorance, you cannot be free. But know the truth, and truth shall make you free. A great statement. Jesus says that if you know the truth, then you become free. The truth is God alone is real. The truth is, therefore, in actual practice, what becomes the truth? If God alone is real, stop running after the kingdom of earth, the kingdom of ignorance. Turn your attention to the kingdom of heaven, the divine. And then that will make you free. Here, you cannot be otherwise free at all. So, that is renunciation. What is spoken of here as renunciation is, giving up that which you see is unreal. It is not giving up anything that actually is real. And what does it cost us to give up what is unreal? Nothing, you know, nothing. That which is unreal is can be easily given up. Who wants to keep, say, a fake $100 bill? If it is a fake bill, you don't want to, you can easily give it up. You don't want to, in fact, keep it. It is trash. So therefore, when you see that this world is a passing show, and do you get attached to it then? Do you want to hold on to it? You will spontaneously renounce. This is sannyasa. I again allude to that. I like that statement. Our Swami Ranganathananji used to be our past president. So, when he came to US, the word dumb here is used in a different sense than the same word in India. In India, dumb only means the one who cannot speak, you know, deaf and dumb. Here the connotation is different. Here, dumb means something that your brain functions are not and something like that. So, it is dumb means a fool. When he came here, he got this connotation. And so he said that what the scriptures tell you to give up, only your dumbness. No, nothing else. What you have to give up? Dumbness. Do you want to hold on to dumbness? Who wants to hold on to dumbness? No one. So give it up. Give up your dumbness. That is renunciation. And when we give up our dumbness, what do we get? The truth. The truth is away from us only because we are fools. Give up the foolishness and the truth is right with us. So, sannyasa yoga yuktatma, that when you are tuned to this renunciation, that is, you become a yogi then. Yuktatma means a yogi. You become a yogi. And then what do you become? You become free, vimukto. You cut asunder all bondages. It is, we want to be free, but we feel that there are so many bondages that I have got. I have got financial bondages, family bondages, social bondages, so many. How many are to be cut? But the only bondage that is really a bondage is bondage of ignorance. When that bondage is cut, then all other bondages, they become non-existent. They are no more bondages at all. So, such a person therefore realizes God, becomes God. Knowing the truth, you become truth in this instance. You know the truth that you are the all-pervading divine self. You are immortal. You are pure. You are bliss itself. You are peace itself. When you get this knowledge, what more do you need? You are that. So God says next in the next verse, very beautiful idea, that this knowledge is available to everyone, whosoever wants it. Because we get this feeling that God is not showering grace on me. On somebody that God showers the grace and that person gets it. After all, I am not getting because God is not showering grace on me. And God, therefore, He is partial. He is not really doing justice for everyone. God is favorable to some and non-favorable to some. So what can I do? The God has showered grace on Sri Ramakrishna or Vivekananda and such saintly people, not on me. So when God showers grace on me, I will also become free. But it is the problem that God is such a partial entity. In this verse, God says, no. Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dveshosti na priyah ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya maite teshu chapyaham. I am the same to all beings. There is no one hateful or dear to me. But they who worship me with devotion are in me and I am also in them. God says, I am equal to everyone. I am not less or more favorable to anybody. It is those who want me more, I am more with them. Those who want me less, I am less with them. It is according to their pot. If you go to ocean and then take your own pot, somebody has say 1 gallon pot, somebody has only half gallon, somebody has only a quart, then how much do you get? It is not the fault of the ocean. Ocean can fill you as much as you want. And question is how big is your pot? You cannot get more than that. It is not partiality of ocean. You have to expand. Make your pot bigger, that's all. You have to want more. Basically, what it means is, you have to want more of God. You should be ready to have more of God in your life. But we don't want more of God in our life. Just a little bit. Then God says, okay, only that bit. Okay, you want, then you will get only that bit. Oh God, I have lot of headache. And I am taking medication, doesn't go away. Please do something so that my headache will go away. So God will say, okay, you want only that much. Okay, I'll take that much only. And nothing more than that. Somebody prays, oh God, give me this job. I am looking for this job. Give me this job. Okay, God says, you want only that much from me. You will get only that much from God. Nothing more than that. But when you get that much from God, you get its repercussions as well. It is the problem in asking little things from God is that they come with. They being the worldly things, they come with their inevitable reactions. You have to take those as well. As it is said that it is a pleasure and pain. We pray to God, well, bring pleasure in my life. And what happens? The pain is automatic counterpart of it. You get it even without asking. It is buy one, get another for free, you say. Pain comes automatically with it. So it is, you have no escape from that. But when you seek God, you get God. It is, God is not partial to anyone. It is made very clear here that samoham sarva bhuteshu, sarva, all. I am same for everyone. Everyone. Let us feel this to ourselves too. God is with me, as much with me as God was with Jesus, as much God was with Sri Ramakrishna, as much God was with any saintly person, God is same to me too. There is no distinction from God. When I open myself, that much God will come to me. It is just increasing my desire for it, that's all. It is God is open to come to us, but God doesn't want himself to be thrust on us. You need to want it, that's all. If you don't want, what can be done? If you want, God is ready to come. Sri Ramakrishna used to say that God is ready to come to all of us. In fact, he would love that. The only thing is that people don't want God. That is the problem with us, that we want God only a little bit. And so only little bit comes as to us. He says that people keep on shedding tears for the loss of money, or loss of some near and dear relative, keep on crying to no end. Whoever cries for not seeing God, who really craves for seeing God, if anyone has that craving, that desire, that much intense desire to see God, God will be seen by that person. It is we who do not want, we reject God, banish God from our life, don't interfere with our life. We don't want God to come too close. I was seeing that one skit that God says to someone, hey, I have come here, God, I am God. And that man responds, hey, why? I have been good. It is, why then did you come to me? As if God comes means only going to give punishment. Otherwise, why should God come to me? So, I have been good, is it not? So, you shouldn't be coming to me as if God is a police. that if you hear the knock of the police on your door, you say, why? I didn't commit anything, no crime. Why police has come to me? So it is like that. Why God is visiting me? I have been good. It is. So that is our attitude towards God. So God doesn't come to us. There is no partiality from God. Think of it, you know, suppose myself and Nandini, who sang such beautiful songs, and we have the same music teacher. I don't have any, but think of it, so just imagine. Now, he will look at my vocal capacity, how much I have, and will give me only that much. She has a big pot, so that teacher will pour a lot in her pot. Now, is it the partiality of the teacher? It is not that the teacher is partial. It is how much do I want? That is the question. If I want more, if I am ready for more, I will get more. If I am not ready for more, what is the point in giving more to me? It will just get wasted. So, therefore, God says that those who want me, they are in me and I am in them. When you know that God is my reality, God is with you, that is where the difference is. You know why Jesus is the Son of God, and who are we all? Are we not children of God? Each one of us is child of God. The difference is Jesus knew that. We think that I am child of this father and this mother, this man and this woman. I am their child. We don't talk of ourselves as son of God or daughter of God. But Jesus knew that this man and woman, they were just instruments. We are really children of God. Each of us. Just when we know God is with us, we are children of God. Just know that we are children of God. It is, we refuse this, and God therefore goes away from our life. When we know that I am child of God, God is with me too. It is just knowing. So, he says, those who devote to me, who love me, I am with them. If they don't want, they don't love me, means they don't want me. So I don't interfere in their life. When they are ready, I am also ready to get into their house. And so he says in the next verse, the life completely changes even if a person is seeped in so-called sinful activity. It is, God doesn't take any offense that this person has committed so many bad actions. Many of us get this thought, well, I am now so many years old, I have already spent 50 years of my life, I don't know, I didn't really pay attention to this spiritual life. What will happen to me now? It is so difficult to erase all that. And so the unspoken thought behind is that, so now no point anyway doing spiritual practice. Let me just continue the way I am living. No, friends. It is just the change of direction is enough. What is the sinful person? There is nobody as sinful person. Because of the activities that person was doing, that person was called a sinner. There is no sinner or there is no saint as such. As is our awareness and as are our actions, so that person is called a saint or sinner. So this verse is very beautiful. I remember the great feeling I had when I first read this verse about maybe 35 years ago. Api chet suduracharo bhajate mamananya bhak sadhureva samantavyah samyag vyavasito hisah. Even if a very wicked person worships me to the exclusion of anybody else, he should be regarded as religious, for he has rightly resolved. It is Suppose somebody is driving in the wrong direction. Now, the moment that person knows that, oh, my direction was wrong, I am not going to reach destination by this. It happens to us many times while driving. Sometimes they, instead of east, we go to west. And then after a while we recognize that we made a mistake. Then what do we do? Do we continue? Okay, anyway, then what can be done? We never say that earth is anyway round. If I continue going west, ultimately I will get to east. We never make such folly. What do? We stop and then take the U-turn, come back to the right path. And the moment we come to the right path, the life takes a turn around. Instead of being thought of as sinners. Sinners means going in the wrong direction. Now that person knows that it is a wrong direction, starts driving in the right direction. Now should that person be called sinner? That person is saint now. Sadhureva samantavya. That person must be called a saint, a sadhu. Sadhu means a saintly person. That person may be a very wicked, vile person. A very, very, you can think of that as a person who is committing every kind of crime in society. Even if that is that kind of person, when that person goes in the right direction, now that person should not be called a wicked or sinful person anymore, looking at the past of that person. The past of that person, yes, everybody has a past. We made mistakes. Let us not brood over the mistakes. The one important thing that Bhagavad Gita tells us and what Vedanta tells us is don't brood over the mistakes. Don't keep on saying to yourself or even to others, oh, I made this mistake. I am a sinful person. They never repeat this to yourself or to others. I committed so many wrong things in life. I committed so many crimes. I did not do all the right things in life. Well, yes, what of that? Now you know. Now don't think of that. That is done. That is past. Now you know that that was wrong. Start doing what is right. It is a very psychologically wrong thing, friends. Vedanta emphasizes on this, that if you know that you have made mistakes, don't talk about it. Don't think about it. Think that you are divine. That your basic divinity alone by comparison tells you that you have made mistake. If you had not that basic divine principle in you, how would you even recognize the mistake? For recognize the mistake, there has to be a clear comparison. And that comparison is in us. That is why we feel that I have made mistake. Now you have known it. Don't think of it anymore. Think of the right thing, that I am divine. I am immortal. I am pure. This is the meditation that must be done. What happens is, if I keep on thinking, oh, I made mistake, I am such a bad person, and I always has been like that, that is my life, I always keep me on doing mistakes. You know what happens? Think of it. How much harm we do by this thinking. Unconsciously, we keep on meditating on these wrong things. oh, I have done this mistake. I hurt this person. I shouldn't have done this. Oh, why did I do this? I am sorry for that. I am not. Then you go on telling it to yourself. You may go and confess it to in your that church or somewhere. Oh, I made these mistakes. What are you doing there? You are meditating unconsciously or consciously on all those wrong things, and whatever you meditate on becomes a brighter, stronger in your consciousness, and thus you will repeat the same thing. That is what happens. Therefore, please, friends, never try to think twice about the mistakes that you made. We all make mistakes. Not making mistakes means not learning. Frankly speaking, you cannot learn unless you make mistakes. Have you ever seen a little child who learnt walking without falling? If the child feels that, well, unless I perfectly learn walking, I will never stand on my feet, what will be the result? The child will never be able to walk. It is the falling. Every time the child falls, gets the signal. This is how I made the mistake. The brain starts getting properly programmed through that. It is very nice, how the brain development of a baby takes place through the fall. The falling is actually provides a signal that how it should be, one should walk. So it is very important that you should not brood over the mistakes. Brooding doesn't help, friends. It is have a positive attitude. We all must have the positive attitude. I remember a nice symposium about and the positive thinking, and somebody said that, well, we all made mistakes, we all commit mistakes. And then one nice thought was presented there, that if somebody has not made a single mistake in life, if somebody has not made a single mistake in life, well, that is the mistake that person has made. Because no learning opportunity, friends. And making mistakes, nothing wrong in it. Brooding over the mistake is the real problem with us. So let us not brood over the mistakes, because we are not sinners. It is the actions do not stick to us. Yes, that was just as you saw that you were going on the wrong road. And do you stop the car and keep on crying? Oh, I had been driving on the wrong road. Well, that's all gone. Come on, you know now that it was wrong. Go to start driving in the right direction. So, and what then will be? The life will get transformed accordingly. He said, Sadhureva Samantavyaha. That person should not be now called a sinner, should be called a saint. And saint and sinner is only this much difference. Each of us is a saint, a potential divinity. Friends, we are all a potential divinity. Just have to manifest it. Why is it called glass? You drink something from the glass. If the glass is filled with poison, you call it glass of poison. Empty it, wash it, fill it with, say, milk. And now, will you call it glass of poison? It is not the property of the glass as such that it is glass of poison or glass of milk. It is what you fill in it. So if a person is doing wrong actions, that person gets called a sinner. If not, that very person is saint. So sadhureva samantavyaha samyak vyavasito hi saha, that person is going in the right direction. So what happens? The life changes quickly. The life gets changed. That is the next verse. Kshipram bhavati dharmatma shashvat shantim nigacchati kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. What a great verse, giving lot of solace and inspiration and guidance together. What happens to such a person? Driving in right direction. Some time back, a gentleman was to come here to see me, and then he was to come right at 10 o'clock. And then I received a call from him at 5 past 10. And he said, well, you know, I missed the road, I missed the turn. And you know what happens in the providence, if you miss a turn through the maze of the one ways and all that, you don't know how long will it take you to get back. So he said, now I am on the right path, I will be there shortly. So it is like that. Quickly we will get to the destination once we know that we were on the wrong track, and now I am on the right track. Now it is matter of a little time and you will be there. Kshipram bhavati. Quickly that person becomes a saintly person. Friends, this is something that is practically true. I have seen many, many people whose lives have been so transformed just by this, that changing this path, bringing the divine connection in life. Just bring that divine connection, all the activities will get transformed. Don't brood. Lord tells us, don't brood. Don't hold on to those mistakes. Just get onto the right path. The life will be transformed. So, he gives the example in the next verse that, in fact, next two verses, that even if you have some very difficult conditions that you are born with, never mind the 33rd, 32nd and 33rd verse. Mam hi partha vyapa shritya yepisyu papayo nayah striyo vaishyastatha shudra tepiyanti paramgatim. This verse is sometimes not properly understood. It is thought that this verse criticizes those who are born in lower caste or born as women. Many feminists, not properly understanding this verse, feel that, hey, Lord is criticizing women. No, it's not criticizing anybody. He is saying that every person has some circumstantial problems, and sometimes the person gets bogged down because of that. This was, let me read the translation. Even they who are of sinful birth, the women, vaishyas, as also shudras, taking refuge in me, verily attain the highest goal. Even if you are these terms, you know, they sometimes have a different connotation. The connotation that is applied here is, suppose you are born with many bad tendencies in you, or even if your family situation is not very congenial for spiritual practice, the atmosphere is not really very helpful for that. Your upbringing was not spiritual at all. Doesn't matter. You tune yourself to God and it will be all right. Even for such people, they reach the same goal that anybody else will reach. And he says then, what to speak of you, Arjuna? And this we should apply to ourselves. This is a great psychological device, that even those who are born with in a very disadvantageous circumstances, they can attain to the highest. Then think of you. And we all can think of the positives that we have. Oh yes, I got an opportunity to go to Vedanta Society, how many in the world get? I got to read the life of Sri Ramakrishna, how many after all get? I received these things in my church, how nice it is. How many after all get that? Let us think, count these positives in life. And if without these positives also people can realize God, then Naomi, with so many positives, what will happen to us? We will surely get there. Let us feel that tremendous confidence that yes, we will get it. We have this advantage, and we will therefore surely get this highest in our life. And the technique is told in the last verse, Manmana Bhava Madbhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru Mamai Veshasi Kaunteya Yuktvaiva Matmanam Matparayanaha. Fix your mind on me. Be my devotee. Here my means God, the universal consciousness. Fix your mind on me. Be my devotee. Sacrifice to me. Thus fixing mind on me and having me for the supreme goal, you will attain me alone. So this is the result that each of us can aspire for, and surely we will get it. In the world, nothing else is going to bring peace or satisfaction in our life. Guarantee, friends, there is no positive there at all. But here, there is no negative at all. Everything is positive. So let us bring this turn to our life. Most auspicious moment, friends, when our life is turned in this direction. So, we shall turn to the 10th chapter from the next class, coming Friday, as per the wish of God. 10th chapter is about a very beautiful question that Arjuna asks, that in what many different ways can I connect to you? It is psychologically very significant question. It is the mind of all of us is coming out from that Arjuna's question. We shall try to think of it next Friday. Any questions? Yes, John?
But don't you think that it is necessary in order to attain some kind of spiritual that you have to admit, not only to yourself but to other people that you correct, you have to admit where you were wrong. In other words, you have to
exactly. Yeah, it is true that, you know, this is a very tricky question. That is, what you are talking is admitting and not brooding. Brooding is positively bad. Admitting to yourself that you have made a mistake, admitting to even others, but what happens, you know, this is an intellectual exercise is one thing. Psychological exercise is quite another thing. Admitting intellectually in the sense, understanding at the level of understanding that yes, I had made a mistake. But feeling yourself to be therefore like a hopeless creature, or feeling that you have done something that you cannot redeem yourself from, or thinking about it all the time, is not help at all. In fact, the moment one understands that I had made a mistake, stop thinking about it. It is, that is the honesty. brooding about it, repeating again and again the same thing, it doesn't make any worse mistake. The mistake is mistake. Whether you admit it once, whether you admit it 20 times, it is same. What wrong happens by admitting or thinking of it 20 times is, you mentally repeat it 20 times. And thus, there is the propensity that impression becomes stronger. You, without your wanting it, you repeat it. Therefore, this is a psychological truth that repenting is succeeded by repetition. Go on repenting and you will see that you repeat it. Because that repentation is a meditation, a thinking, a making this strong in your life. And therefore, admit it. Yeah, don't try to pretend that I had not made any mistake. But admitting that I had made mistake is one thing. And admitting that I am a bad sinner person, that is another thing. Never let us commit this folly to think that I am basically a sinner. No, I am divine. And because of that divine light alone, I can see that it is a mistake. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to see a mistake. Good. Yes, please.
When we attain perfection, the movie stops and only screen remains. However, since we got created out of perfection, why did the movie start in the first place?
Oh, well, this is...
Did the instruments of desire and attachment get created from a fulfilled state?
Yes, the question gets often asked in different words. And really it doesn't have any answer. The question is, if there is the fulfilled state, then why did it ever in the first place became unfulfilled? It is the question about what is the first cause. And this is the question has been asked for thousands of years. And the only answer to that is that I do not know. There is the question, if you analyze it, that itself is an illogical question. I don't want to take too much of the time, but I want to tell that it is very good to read Swami Vivekananda's lecture in Jnana Yoga. The title of that lecture is Absolute and Manifestation. That lecture gives a detailed answer to this particular query, that why it started in the first place. If I am perfect, then what in the first place made me imperfect? Why did the cravings arise? And now I have to get, because we think like this, you know, that now you are telling me that, well, I have got all this dirt on me and I should take a very cleansing shower of the name of God or connection with God. The shower of God will cleanse me completely and I will become perfect, clean. But what made me dirty in the first place? It is nobody can really tell us. In fact, this question can never be answered because there is no first there. It is, you do not know when it happened. Delusion is delusion. Delusion doesn't have a real cause. There is no cause for a delusion because then it will be an explanation of the delusion and it will become real then. It is asking, when did the snake, that rope became snake? This example is given in Vedanta very often, that when there is actually a rope, in dim light, you see it as snake. And now you say, hey, this is snake, and you get all the fear and other reactions of that seeing the snake. Now, if the question is asked, at what point the rope became the snake? Can you answer it? At when first the rope became snake? And it never became snake, it appears only as snake. At no point it became snake at all. That is why the technical term to answer this question is called adhyasa, superimposition. God alone is, it is being seen as this world. When the delusion goes away, God alone is. And not that, just as when you see the rope, not that you think that earlier it was snake, now it became rope. You say, hey, what a mistake I was committing. It was all along been rope, I was seeing it as snake. So, similarly, when you see the truth, you will see that what foolishly I was thinking as I and world is really that divine one. That alone was there. There was no world at all, no I at all. It was all the time divine one without second presence. So there is no first to it at all. So let us conclude with the closing prayers. Geet.